Welcome to the Coaching Skills for Leaders podcast with Jan Henderson and Neil Thubron. The purpose of the podcast is to help leaders anywhere develop their coaching skills to transform the lives of those they lead as well as their own. Welcome to another episode of Coaching Skills for Leaders. Thank you for tuning in to listen with Neil and Jana. Jana, how are you today?
Hi, I'm doing really great. How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you. Yeah, really, really good. I'm really excited to be recording this topic today, which is one that, I don't know, it seems to keep coming up in various versions with people that I'm working with, either coaching or leaders that I'm teaching or engaging with. And the topic is imposter syndrome.
Oh, drum roll. Don't we know it all? No. I mean, you and I wouldn't know some imposter syndrome, but, you know, for other people, we know it, right?
Well, and actually, to be honest, I think I've suffered from imposter syndrome on more than one occasion.
I'm sure we all have.
And I think that's a good place to start, actually, is, you know, imposter syndrome is something that you hear the term a lot. You hear people throw it around, you know, I must be suffering from imposter syndrome, or I feel like I'm suffering from imposter syndrome. And typically that's because they're questioning themselves. They're thinking that they are undeserving of where they're at, or in the position they're in, or their accomplishments they have. They're sitting looking around at everything they've achieved, and they feel like, well, you know, do I really deserve this? Mm-hmm. And I think
it's kind of like a who am I, like, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who am I to do this, to have this, to be talking, or to be seen the expert? I feel like that's coming up.
Yeah. And I think from what I've seen, not just in people I work with, but also in good friends of mine as well, who are really successful, is it's so common for people, even some of the most successful people in the world, to have that anxiety and doubt that, should I be here? Is this, am I going to be found out at some point? Mm-hmm. And am I going to be found out as an imposter? Mm-hmm. Which is, I guess, just a natural human doubt and behavior when we question ourselves.
Yeah.
But it seems to have, it's got this label on it. And so I guess in this episode, let's try and unpack and uncover how leaders could help themselves or others when it comes to experiencing that anxiety of imposter syndrome.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Let's dive all the way in. I think we're going to look at it from two different sides, really. Like, how do you help yourself, but also really what can you do when you spot it in others in your team, right? So that's really, really, really important. But since we all can relate to it, let's talk about the experience first. So I think one of the things that might be really key in helping to work with imposter syndrome is what triggers it. Mm. And I would hazard a guess that comparison might be at the top of the list. What do you think?
I guess so. Comparison's interesting, because comparison with what? Is it comparison with your peer group? And, you know, you look at someone who's in a similar role to you and you think, I'm not as good as them, or I'm not as clever as them, or I'm not as experienced as them. Mm-hmm. I guess that could be part of it. It could also be comparing yourself to family expectations or things that you've grown up with as well. Mm-hmm. What's your experience of?
I would say that in the majority of cases, there's some version of comparison going on that would determine that we are not as good as, right? Something else, somebody else, somewhere else. And it's, you know, it's often also, I feel like, an indication of what, you know, if you spot it, you got it. So, like, let's just assume you're witnessing somebody else in your field and they're just being really brilliant at it. You know, they just are very articulate, or they've just nailed something. They've done a really great job at a presentation, whatever else. And then you're sitting there thinking, oh man, this person's really, really great. And oh, maybe I'm not as great as, right? So I think there's an element of that. But at the same time, it's kind of hinting us at our own potential our own desires, like what we want more of, where we want to develop mastery. And so I feel like, you know, whenever I have that show up and I can hold it and be like, oh, here it is, the little imposter syndrome monster is lurking in the corner. I really try to look at it as, what is it about this situation or this other person that I actually envy? You know? So there's often then something there that I would like for myself, that I would like to be better at. So I find it very useful actually to work with. Obviously it doesn't feel great in the moment if you're really going down the self-doubt spiral, but it can also be a really great tool to uncover what more there is for you.
Or it's interesting actually. One of the things I've noticed is that self-doubt or that envy, one of the things you can't notice is how people see you. And so the opposite could be true at the other end of the telescope.
Very much so.
And so other people could be looking at you in exactly the same way, but you just can't see it in yourself. And I've experienced that a number of times in my career where I didn't think I was doing the way I was seen to be doing the role was very different to the way I felt I was doing it. And the way I was seen to be doing it was much higher and much more positive than the way I saw it. So that
it is about the dissonance, isn't it, really? About the dissonance between like how you perceive yourself versus how the outside might perceive you. Isn't it?
Yeah. And then being comfortable with that as well. And being okay with that.
I would say the other thing that shows up a lot for me, whether it's for myself or clients, is that around this imposter syndrome, is that really it's an indication of mastery. Like there's an area usually that we are looking to, you know, be an expert in or master in some fashion. And so that's why I think imposter syndrome shows up even for the best, you know, whether it's actors or, you know, political figures. I'm trying to think, really anybody, you know, singers, you hear it all the time, right? Like that people still feel like an imposter syndrome, even if they have huge amounts of successes. Recently, I was watching a whole Netflix documentary about Lewis Capaldi, for example, who's just a perfect example of that. And so it doesn't matter how much success you have. It just is about, you know, how you are perceiving yourself in the world with the art that you put out.
Yeah, yes. And I think it typically is triggered. But what I've seen where I see it triggered is when someone gets promoted into a position and they're in a new position, that's when it first starts appearing, is that doubt. Or they want to go for a new role, but they're not sure whether they should. But where I've seen it most is where someone is in a new role and then they start doubting whether they are capable of doing that.
Well, I wonder then if it's maybe something to do with the comfort zone, our very good friend, the comfort zone, because really imposter syndrome probably lives outside of that circle of the comfort zone, doesn't it? It's like whenever we try to do something a little bit new, a little bit different, we're growing and we're a bit like, oh, maybe I don't belong here, you know, like there's a part of us that's pulling back into safety, so to speak. So it could be that too.
I think, and that kind of links quite nicely to one of the things I think that links to is six human needs, which is uncertainty. You know, we have this need for uncertainty, but not too much.
Yeah, just not too much, please.
so how do we pull some of that uncertainty back into more certainty? Because and I think that's probably the next step of this conversation is, so if a leader's feeling that, or if they see it, that anxiety, that potential of imposter syndrome in others, what can they do? And one of the things I know that works when I work with people on this is just anchoring in things that they know, in their comfort zone, in their certainty. You know, what are they great at? What got them to where they are already?
So you're using essentially reframing to focus them on what they are good at, as opposed to the things that they are maybe not seeing themselves as being good at yet.
Yeah, because they can't see themselves as being good. And just things like simple things that like writing down all the great things, achievements you've had, because quite often we achieve stuff and we move on. Mm-hmm. And we don't focus enough on what we've achieved, the great things that we've achieved that have got us to where we are today.
Mm-hmm.
And that just reminds us that actually we are worthy mm-hmm. of what we've achieved or of where we are because of what we've achieved.
Yeah, I totally get that. I think it might work in many circumstances. I do think, though, that I've certainly honestly been in that boat myself where I could still make that list and it's not enough. I need to have this and this and this, and it's just not enough. So it just feeds for me the story of that's all nice and good, but this person has got a PhD in something, or they have like 6 books out on the market about this topic. You know what I mean? Like there's always then more to be accomplished. So, you know, I think when I speak with leaders that are suffering for, you know, for a moment of about imposter syndrome, I'd be really curious to just have them choose the relationship that they want to be in with that part of themselves, right? Where they're really just taking a pause to look at, well, what is that actually, what's this actually underneath that for them? What is this about? You know, obviously 99% of people have some version or another of not feeling good enough. So I don't mean that as broad as that, but you know, what is it actually pointing to for them? You know, what is it? What's the golden nuggets in this showing up for them at that point? That's really where I would look. And then the other part is then to be like, okay, well, what do we want to do when this shows up? How do we want to be being in that place? Do we want it to go down a whole spiral of self-doubt and depression for a couple of days? Because, you know, that can happen. I think we've all had that happen. Or do we want to be in a relationship where it then we choose a different stand and we act more empowered? And we're like, okay, so this is, you know, I have this fear, because honestly, Neil, I think for a lot of people, it's like a key driver that keeps people pushing hard for success. So imposter syndrome can be like a crutch even, you know, of being like, well, I'm going to do more, you know, in the realm of coaches, haven't we all met the coaches that are like just starting out and they want one more certification and one more this and one more thing that allows them to feel like they're enough, you know, in order to charge or whatever. So I think it's kind of I would call it a crutch at some, you know, not for everybody in every situation, but sometimes. So it might be worth looking at what is it for that person, really? What is it about?
Yeah. And I think what you said there is really powerful, is how could you take this feeling, this thought, this feeling, and what could be great about that? How could that create energy?
Mm-hmm.
How could that create positive momentum?
Mm-hmm.
I guess the other thought that pops into my head is, what would it take to not be an imposter?
This is just the thing, isn't it? Because if you then have the goalpost of like, okay, once I have, this is a classic, okay, people, bing, 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 classic coaching moment of I'll be happy when. I'll be happy when, or I won't have imposter syndrome when I have, you know, in my case, a PhD in psychology, probably, or, you know, something that I've made up that I need to have in order to feel good enough. And even if you have that list, yeah, you might feel driven towards that, but really, is it because you're trying to address your not enoughness, or are you pursuing a PhD or something else like writing a book because you're interested in it and you're loving it? That's kind of what I mean about looking at the relationship you want to build with that, because it can be just a whole bunch of negative self-talk that comes from the wounding and the fear of not feeling good enough, as opposed to being a positive driver. So it could, however, give you indication of where you do want to spend more time. Right? As a leader, like if you're finding yourself feeling really like attracted to and a strong bout of imposter syndrome when you've been at a conference where you heard other people speak on your subject matter, then maybe that's an indication that you are actually attracted to speaking more, to developing your expertise or your speaking skills more, or to, you know, maybe spend more time doing things that you really want to be doing at the company, as opposed to the things that you are finding yourself doing.
Yeah. And I think that's interesting, because that could a look at how can you view this and positively take action on it, or positively change something or thinking in you to address it. I guess the other thought that comes into my head is, when you have that anxiety that comes with imposter syndrome, mm-hmm. what are some immediate actions you can take? Mm-hmm. Some IA drills, they would call it in the military. What are your IA drills for when you have that anxiety? And it, you know, that remembering all the great, all the things you're great at is definitely one of the things that I know works for me. Mm-hmm. Breathing.
And but to me, that's like, honestly, I would invite this, because I'm, you know, I will raise my hands. I am coming at it from an ontological perspective, but you cannot leave a place that you haven't fully been to and with. So it's so tempting to want to do something to make it go away, right? That's a very common thing that people bring to coaching. It's like, I really, really want to, you know, stop thinking this and not do this and not behave like this. But actually, in this case, I would invite anybody, leader or otherwise, to just be with that feeling for a moment and just recognize it, feel what it feels like in your body, allow it to pass, because it's too tempting to, you know, try to move on by doing to something else. And actually, that might just, you know, just suppresses it.
I get it. And you're absolutely right. The challenge is if it's paralyzing you, if you're in a meeting and you are not speaking up, you're not adding value, you're not being yourself because imposter syndrome is holding you back.
Yeah.
You need a way of dealing with it.
You got it. Okay. I've got you. I understand. I got you back. So here's the thing. So if somebody is, I think, in a situation like what you just described, where you really are paralyzed and it's not good time to be with your damn feelings. Yeah, I get that. Then what would we do? So I think the first I would suggest is probably to take a deep breath, you know, and to sit with acknowledging, oh, here it is showing up. I have a choice. How do I react? How do I respond rather than react, right? So if you're taking a deep breath, I think the main thing that it does is just it creates a little bit of space for the nervous system to calm and back off, basically, right? To calm down a little bit and to ground yourself. So even if you're in a meeting, you put your palms, you know, down on your legs, you ground yourself and take a deep breath. And then
Before you go on to the next point. There was a great podcast that Andrew Huberman did on how to breathing techniques to calm you down.
Yeah.
And one of them was take a breath through your nose, then take a second breath.
Mm-hmm.
So you take two breaths and then breathe out. And they've done a lot of scientific work on studies on this that actually calms the nervous system down.
Yeah. I love it.
So that's a really good point. Sorry.
A double in breath. Okay.
Double in breath. Yeah. Perfect. And then out through the mouth.
I love it. I remember listening to that episode. That was really great. So yeah, anything that you know that works for you to calm the nervous system down, I think will be great. And then really it's taking the stand and being a choice. So, you know, even if that is the kind of part of, you know, when they always talk about this, like little devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other shoulder, it's kind of that situation, isn't it? Where you've got to decide who you're going to listen to. So then you are a choice. I think just to know that you are a choice, how you're being with it is very empowering. And then to, you know, feel the fear and do it anyway.
Yeah. And I think the way when I've seen this turning up with actually with someone I'm working with at the moment is they find that when they are feeling imposter syndrome, they get very defensive and they don't behave like themselves. Mm-hmm. And therefore they don't do a good job, basically, in that situation when they're with someone. So that breathing is definitely key. Kind of almost taking a physical step back. So that grounding as you described it. So almost it's definitely and if you can, I guess try and detach as much as you can from the situation, even if that means stepping out while you're having those feelings and coming back. Just give yourself some space and time. What else would we tell leaders who are either feeling this or who have got people they know suffer from imposter syndrome?
You know, I do feel like there's what comes to my mind is a little bit of the power of naming it, You know, there's a, I think, especially because we know from research that the most powerful leaders are also the ones that are sharing their vulnerabilities. I don't know, you know, it certainly depends a little bit on the circumstance. Like, you might not want to do this on national TV, but if you're in a meeting with your leadership team, you might even just address it and say, you know, I'm getting a little bit nervous here because, you know, part of me feels like I'm out of my depth or something, right? To explain, and just say, let's just brainstorm how we could do it in a different way. Like, just basically addressing your nervous feelings, just like you would in an interview. You know, I'm really excited to be here, so I'm sorry, I'm a little bit nervous. It's kind of the same tactic, where naming it can just take a lot of wind out of the sails.
Yeah, and I think I like naming it, because it just brings it out on the table. And that vulnerable, authentic leadership style is definitely becoming more acceptable in the workplace. Not in all places, but it's definitely becoming more acceptable. Mm-hmm. And in terms of coaching models and coaching styles, we mentioned the six human needs, and there's clearly some links to that in there. Mm-hmm. And then the self-coaching 101 that we talked about in one of our episodes, which is also really powerful for helping someone through this.
I think anything that basically helps you look at the meaning that you're giving, right, to the situation or to the thoughts that you're having. So one of the things I don't think we've mentioned a lot before and haven't done an episode on is Byron Katie's The Work. And The Work is really just four powerful questions of inquiry. I think we did a little bit of that together with Tim Ferriss' model. But basically here in this,
yes.
I think in this situation, what that would be about is really to just, in the moment, whenever you're catching yourself with your imposter syndrome, to think, is that true?
Hmm.
Can I be absolutely sure that's true? To at least create a bit of a gap there that it maybe not is true, whatever you're thinking in that moment. And then to even just skip question three and go straight to, because we already know from your client, you know, he or they are not showing up the way that they would, and they're not doing their best work when they're in that state. And that's usually the case. So question four was, who would you be without the thought? And you might even take it to the point of like saying, what would I say without the thought? How would I show up without this thought? If I didn't have this thought now, then what wouldn't I be afraid to say? Right. And sometimes for me, that shows up in ways of where I would ask myself, what would I say to this client if I wasn't scared of them firing me? And I will just say the thing. And that ends up being one of the most powerful things you could say, you know? So that might be another way to deal with it for sure.
So for leaders to use that coaching model, the Works by Byron Katie. And then the other model that we talked about was the Brooke Castillo model, which would also be relevant here. You know, what's the circumstances that are creating the thoughts, that are creating the feelings? And then almost pausing at that point, at those feelings point, and okay, what feelings do I need to have here to create the thoughts I want to create?
And just simply refocusing on the result that you're actually looking to create. So, you know, sometimes it may just be simply helpful to zoom out and away from your internal world and your feelings all around that imposter syndrome, and focus back outward on the room, on the situation, on the meeting. What was it that you actually really wanted to create here? What's the desired result? And then work your way back from there. Because then at least it's a little bit like Tony Robbins says, you know, when you're depressed, one of the best things you can do for yourself is to go out and help others, because it just takes your focus away, right, from the internal struggle. So I think that's helpful. And then when you're spotting it, I think this is a really interesting question, right? Like, what do you do when you're spotting it in one of your team? Like, how to support someone else when they're in that loop where they're just not feeling good enough. I think so many of my people, and certainly I can relate to having had employees or staff members that are constantly getting themselves down, that are constantly feeling not good enough. Like, what do you do then? What do you think? What are your thoughts on that?
So when you've got someone who, So I guess one of the things that comes into my mind is refocusing on purpose, on what is it you want? Mm-hmm. And focusing on the purpose and that individual, you know, so focus on that individual. What is it they want? What is it they're trying to achieve in their career, in this job, in that? So what are the things that they want? Mm-hmm. And if I was a leader and I was spotting that in someone, I think there's a need for strokes as well. There's a need for constant affirmation from others. That's definitely so that there's the external validation mm-hmm. from people that they value and respect. I think that's quite important in helping with someone who is doubting themselves and not being themselves. So yeah, I think refocusing on purpose, that validation, those are the first things that kind of pop into my head.
I love the validation piece, especially. I was going to come to that as well, because I actually thought of it slightly differently than you, but I think both are very pertinent here. One is that if I saw a team member constantly being in this cycle of like, oh, you know, where you can just tell, like they just don't have belief in themselves. I do think it's important to acknowledge and validate that and be like, hey, you know, I can see that there's a part of you that doesn't feel like you belong here or you're good enough for this or whatever, like to just validate their experience. And yes, you can, I think, you know, bolster up, if you will, the ego by way of creating positive acknowledgement and praising them for what they are doing great. But really, I think as a leader, the idea is that we develop the person, right? Like we want to be making them into great people. And so it might be an idea to talk with them, just set some time aside and really look at when are they feeling that? Like what are their triggers, right? Like what's creating that experience for them? And are there maybe certain things that they would like to address with skills training or with the support of a coach that helps them overcome it long term? Like find lasting solutions, you know? Mm. Say, for example, you know, I've experienced this certainly where people have that kind of experience when they're dyslexic, right? Like, so then how do you build strategies for that person and with that person in order for them to just be, you know, be as productive and as effective and confident despite this dyslexia? Like what kind of structures can you put in place with this person? Or, you know, if they are feeling like they haven't got enough knowledge, you know, in sales, it's a lot about product knowledge or experience in selling or experience in having conversations with customers. So then what is it that they would need in order to feel up to speed? You know, that's the sort of thing I was thinking of.
Yeah. Yeah. It's built. And that's bringing that uncertainty into certainty, in my view. That's, you know, what are you uncertain of that you can bring into that?
Because the person might not initially, like, honestly, Neil, I think people might not even be fully aware. So self-awareness is, I feel like, for the leader or for the leader that's dealing with a team member, one of the most important things is to get to the bottom of what's actually creating that experience of the imposter syndrome.
Yeah. So when does it occur? What's happening when it occurs? Mm-hmm. And and that's in it. And actually what's interesting, so where I see it popping up with people that I work with, it's normally when they're dealing with someone in senior authority. That's when they feel under the spotlight and they think, I'm going to be found out. So that's, yeah, I guess there's something there about how do you, in your own peer group, amongst your own, you know, your own team, it's okay. But then when you're under the spotlight from someone who you might think is better than you, more senior than you, more, more capable than you, then I think that's where it probably appears, or that's where I see it appearing a lot.
Well, for me, that there's an interesting piece in there that's just came to my mind while you were speaking, which is that if it's that you're fearful of being found out about, like, say you've done a piece of work and it may not be up to par, that sort of thing, I wonder if that may then invite an investigation into your integrity, because there might be a part of you that feels like you're not quite in alignment between your actions and your words, whether you have, you know, delivered what you said you would or that kind of thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And what I mean actually isn't that they haven't lived up to their standards. What I've seen is that they question, even though they know they've done a great job, they know their stuff, they're good at what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
They're worried about someone asking them something or challenging them on something that they don't have the answer to, or makes them feel uncomfortable or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where the doubt comes in and the imposter syndrome comes in, even though it's not real.
It's this kind of being afraid to not have all the answers and not know everything that they could be asked about.
Or not for people to think they don't know all the answers.
Okay.
Yeah, I've had it. Personally, I've had it where I've been challenged by people who are senior. I know all the answers. I know when this deal's coming in. I know when the value of it. I know the decision process. But when you're under the spotlight, under pressure, you're kind of thinking, do I really have all the right relationships? Have I really got a good handle on this deal? Do I? So you then start questioning. So that's where I guess I personally had the imposter syndrome in the past myself when that's happened. But all the things we've talked about, like how to deal with it in the moment, the IA drills, how to then take a step back and think, okay, what's causing this, what's behind this, what feelings do I want to create, and therefore what thoughts would I need, all of those things we've talked about, I think would work in that case.
Yeah. And also, you know, if you are in the position where, you know, because what you're describing is an element of perfectionism, isn't it? It's like a desire to have all the answers to everything all the time. So that's like a slightly different take on it, I would say, where, again, you know, from an ontological perspective, you get to choose how you're being in relationship with that part of yourself, right? Like, when that shows up, really, that's just a defense mechanism of not wanting to be looking stupid. So that's what's there to work with, right? That you don't want to look unprofessional. You don't want to look like you don't know what you're doing. You don't want to look incompetent, whatever form or whatever words you want to pick for it. But it's, you know, this is what we would call defense mechanisms. So, you know, we want to be able to be, you know, through coaching or through being developed as a leader, to be able to step into the essence of our being again, and to work and operate from that rather than from the defense mechanisms.
Yeah. And actually, you just said something that really resonates, is you've just got to be okay with being uncomfortable. Actually, it's the Tony Robbins quote of your success will be directly equivalent to the amount of discomfort you're prepared to accept.
Yeah,
and actually, that's true. It's so you might not know everything, you might not have all the answers, you might feel like an imposter, but actually, how can you? What needs to happen for you to be okay with that? Or to embrace that.
Yeah. To just be okay with being perfect.
It's okay to that discomfort. And the great thing about being in the uncomfort zone, or you're outside your comfort zone, is, you know, that's where we grow. We don't grow in our comfort zone. We grow outside our comfort zone.
Exactly. Which I feel like brings us back full circle. Good. To our, you know, simple discovery that the imposter syndrome probably lies just a little bit outside the comfort zone, which means congratulations, you are growing. This is good for you. And it's showing you in which direction you would like to grow. And so let's just all just love on the whole imposter syndrome a little bit more and embrace it a little bit more and look at it as a signpost.
And when you see it in others, it's okay to name it. It's okay to try and understand it and support and help them to either embrace it or overcome it.
Absolutely. Structures in any circumstance.
So should we wrap there?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was a really, really insightful conversation, I feel like. And I certainly hope that you, listener, that you were feeling helped by it and heard, and maybe had a little chuckle here and there at yourself like we did. We certainly love you for being here. Thank you so much for listening in. And we'll see you next time.
Yeah, thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to Coaching Skills for Leaders podcast with Jana and Neil. If you found the conversation useful, please share with your colleagues and friends. Please also leave us a rating and a review. And if you would like to connect with us directly to discuss your own or your business needs, you will find our contact details in the show notes below.